Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
It is very important for the people of God to understand temptation, the true nature of temptation, and the true source of temptation. And to that end, James helps us in his epistle in chapter 1, when he tells us, first of all, that sinful temptation never comes from God, but rather sinful temptation originates in the hearts of men. Here's the way he puts it. In James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. No, sinful temptation does not come from God, it never does, but sin and sinful temptation, therefore, the attraction to sin originates in the hearts of men. Of course, men and women, men, human beings, Homo sapiens, members of the human race. That's where sin comes from, and that's where temptation to sin comes from. And so we'll talk about it on this Wednesday, January 18, after we thank those whose financial gifts enable us to maintain this teaching ministry on this station. Well, this is a universal truth that sin originates in the hearts of men. James indicates that when he says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. This is true of each and every one of us. No matter who is reading this, it's true of you. No matter who is listening to this, it's true of you. Each one, every one, is tempted. Because we are all born sinners, and it's as simple as that. And dear friends, you need to understand that baptism does not drown sin, because sin's on the inside, not on the outside. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins, because the water's on the outside, and the sin is on the inside. And if this is a universal truth, as it is also an individual experience. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Each one is drawn away, more literally, dragged away. This is temptation. Temptations can be strong. Each one is dragged away by his own desires and enticed. And that word enticed is a fishing term or a hunting term. It has the idea of the bait that lures the fish or the bait that goes in the hunter's trap. Each one is dragged away by his own individual desires and enticed. And that word desires, lusts, I think is what the old King James says, is a word that means strong desires of every kind, and they are individual. The individual sins, the individual cravings, the individual weaknesses that belong to all of us, but are not the same for everyone. There are different desires for different people, but they all come from the same place, namely from our heart, the heart of each one who is born into sin, born in sin and into sin. And all of us come into this life with a sinful nature, but we don't all come with an identically sinful nature. We have desires that differ from one person to another. There are all kinds of sinful desires. I talked on the broadcast yesterday about how at this point in my life, and I'm getting on in age now, I suppose it could change, but at this point in my life, there's nothing within me that responds to the temptation to alcohol. There's nothing within me that finds cigarette smoke attractive or enticing, but for some of you, one or both of these could be a very strong attraction. There's a difference between people. We get into this sometimes when we get into the question of homosexuality. And I have no difficulty at all believing that some people are strongly attracted to members of their own sex. This is a strange phenomenon to those who are not so attracted. I have no desire for sexual relationships with a man. I do not, and I never have. And at this stage of my life, I don't believe I ever will. But some people do, and they're born that way. I have no difficulty believing that. Sometimes people debate that. Is homosexuality something that a person is born with? I have no difficulty believing that this comes from birth. We cannot isolate a gene, though attempts have been made, but as far as I know, nobody has been able to identify a gene that disposes a person that way. But I have no difficulty believing that people are born with this attraction, this desire. But just because I have the desire doesn't mean that I have the God-given ability, the God-given legitimacy to fulfill that desire, any more than the fact that I and most of you are attracted to members of the opposite sex means that we have, therefore, the legitimate ability to fulfill that desire with whoever we like, whoever we would desire at the moment. That, of course, is not true. There's only one righteous way to fulfill this desire. It is a desire that we have, a desire that presumably we have had from birth, and it is a desire that comes from our nature, it comes from within. It is a God-given desire, it is a legitimate desire, but it cannot be fulfilled legitimately promiscuously. There's only one legitimate way for it to be fulfilled, and that, of course, is in marriage. But it is a powerful desire, and for one person, they might be drawn in one direction, for another person, drawn in another direction, and both of those are sinful desires if they are acted out. Well, they are sinful desires that cause us even to want to engage in sexual relationships with someone who is not our husband or wife, our spouse. As Jesus made it very clear when he said that whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. A powerful text. One that is often ignored, I started to say is often quoted, and I think it is, or at least it used to be. It seems to me like in our day and time, anything that is uncomfortable, anything that talks about sin, seems to be widely avoided by many Christians in our day, but it used to be widely quoted, and people understand that Jesus said that, but most people don't pay it a lot of attention because it seems like an impossible standard. How can I avoid having any desire for someone who's not my wife? How can I see a beautiful woman and have absolutely no desire for her if I have these God-given desires for people of the opposite sex? How can I do that? Well, think through what Jesus is saying. If a man looks upon a woman for the purpose of, anyone who looks upon a woman for the purpose of having sexual desires with her has committed adultery already in his heart. It's not just the passing glance or the passing thought. It is the lingering glance. It becomes more than the glance. The lingering look that takes it in, that thinks about, that hangs on to, that follows that person as long as possible, that lingering desire that mentally undresses the other person, that lingering desire that pursues pornographic images and so forth. The person who does that is doing what? He is committing adultery in his heart. He is allowing these desires to lead him into sin. Even if he doesn't commit physical adultery by pursuing it mentally to that extent, he is committing sin. Jesus said so. So don't be concerned about that fleeting desire that is not sin. Somebody put it this way. They said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from building a nest in my hair. Now, that's a pretty good way to sort out the difference, I think. I can't keep temptations from flying over my head. I can't keep temptations from ever appearing before my eyes, ever crossing my mind. I can't stop that because of who I am, a fallen son of Adam with the desires that I have. I can't stop that because of the world in which I live and these sinful temptations and desires are around me, and I can't avoid ever seeing an image, ever seeing a billboard, ever seeing a scantily clad woman in the mall or whatever. I can't avoid that. It's impossible to avoid. And that fleeting glance is not the sin. That's the bird flying over my head. But when I allow it to build a nest in my hair, when I welcome it, when I hold on to it, when I linger with it, then I am committing sin, because I am committing adultery in my heart. I'm thinking about what it would be like to be with that person. I'm thinking it all through. I'm engaging in a mental adulterous relationship. And most people do understand that difference. And they know that Jesus is exactly right. Whoever looks upon a woman for the purpose of, and by the way, it works both ways, of course, whatever woman looks upon a man for the purpose of committing adultery, whatever is involved in that mental process that thinks about the adulterous relationship, whoever looks upon a woman for the purpose of committing adultery, in God's eyes, has already committed adultery in their heart. And it is these strong desires of every kind. They are different for different people. Some would not be strongly tempted to adultery, but would be strongly tempted to other sins. Some would never be tempted to a same-sex relationship, but would be strongly tempted to an opposite-sex one, and vice versa. But where do these desires come from? That's the point. They come from within. They come from within. Everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.